Coming up, Cousin Sal and I are hooked up to IVs trying to replenish our body fluids after six. I repeat, six playoff games. Good God. It's all next.
So klingt Weihnachten bei Rewe. Jetzt festlich sparen bei deinem Weihnachtseinkauf. Diese Woche bei Rewe, Ferrero Rocher, je 200 Gramm Packung, nur 2,79 Euro. Außerdem Mionetto Prosecco Spumante Doc, je 0,75 Liter Flasche, nur 5,99 Euro. Festlich sparen bei Rewe. Dein Markt.
Dein altes Sofa zerfällt langsam. Und die Black Friday-Angebote sind wirklich unschlagbar. Aber dein Gehalt kommt erst Anfang des Monats. Kein Problem, mit der PayPal-Bezahlung nach 30 Tagen. So hast du jetzt mehr Spielraum beim Bezahlen und der Betrag wird nach 30 Tagen automatisch und kostenlos von deinem Konto oder deiner Karte abgebucht. Alle Infos auf paypal.de/30 Tage. PayPal es. Vorbehaltlich Kreditwürdigkeitsprüfung verfügbar mit deutschem PayPal-Konto für Einkäufe zwischen 1 und 2.000 Euro.
We're also brought to you by TheRinger.com as well as The Ringer Podcast Network, where I hope you're listening to all of our awesome podcasts. And we have a new one coming later this month that I'm excited to tell you about next week. Hold on to your seats for that one. Coming up, the Cuz. First, Pearl Jam. All right, taping this at 8:50 on Sunday night Pacific time. Sal and I just plowed through six NFL playoff games. Here's my big takeaway, Sal. I can't go back. I next week we only have four. And yeah. I used to be like my two favorite sports weekends of the year were probably those first two weekends. And now I feel like it's a step down after three a day for 2 days. This was the best weekend of the year. Every year, this will be the best weekend of the year.
I love it. I love it. But now you're going to tell me it's because LaMelo got a triple-double and he was the youngest, right? Or something stupid
that
like
that.
That
was great. No, yeah, there was good NBA the last
all right,
days,
forget
too,
it. Yeah. I shouldn't have even engaged. But six games, it took us all. Yeah, like next week, the games start at like 1:30 West Coast time, right? Or something, right? Yeah, one, and that's not good enough. We got to wake up, get right into it. It was
By
fun.
The way, the games weren't even that good. The first game was really good, Buffalo Indy. And then after that, it was, you know, every game had some sort of fatal flaw. Well, I want to go through all the games and go backwards. We'll start with the one that happened tonight, Brown Steelers, which was, we're texting each other the whole day. It gets to Saints Bears. And we're like, all right, either this one or the next one is going to be the totally fucked up game because this has been too easy throughout the week. Even the Rams, which was like a mild upset, they're 3.5-point underdogs to the Seahawks. But if you watch the game, it wasn't surprising, and people thought the Rams had a real chance. But we head into Trubisky against the Saints or the Browns with no coaching staff, haven't practiced. Baker, maybe it's like one of these two is going to be wonky, and it turned out it was Brown Steelers.
Son of a bitch. And it could have been the one before, but the Brown Steelers was... That's a game that you have, if you're the Steelers, like every 6 years, and you hope that it doesn't occur in the playoffs, right? Like, I wasn't even looking up when the fumble went in the end zone. They picked it up and 7-0. I'm like, oh, all right. And then, like, bad play after bet, long play for the Browns, another touchdown. Ben's throwing interceptions to 400-pound guys who are somehow cradling the ball. It's not even close to hitting. How many did we see that were so close? Oh, the tip of the ball hit the ground. Nope, these guys are making perfect catches, and they were out of it. Before even they looked at it, like you sent the line. You're like, Browns are -5. It was 14-0, and the Browns live line was -5. I'm like, holy crap. They're not expected to win this game, the Steelers now.
Go back to the snap. It goes flying over Ben's head. It's the worst snap of the year. Nobody's had a worse shotgun snap all year. Ben and Connor go back to get it. Roethlisberger not only doesn't dive on the ground, he's looking at it like he's in an Iraq war film and it's some bomb and he's kind of circling it. Like if he touches it, he's going to blow up. And then Connor kind of does this half-ass fall on it. It's on like the 1 yard line. First of all, the move is just run and go kick it out of the end zone.
Sure.
Take the safety. Like even if you fall on it, you're on the 1 yard line, but it was just so stupid that the Browns scored on that.
I got the sense that they were spotting them seven. Like, okay, we'll spot you seven. Just the way just you would describe it, that they're hovering over the ball and they just like didn't really care to recover.
There was no urgency at all. And then the next play, he just lofts a pass 5 feet over an open receiver's head right to a Brown. And the Browns score again. And then Collinsworth is like, this Browns defense. I'm like, what'd they do? They fell in a step that went overhead, and then he threw a pick. I didn't think the Browns defense was particularly good. They're gassed, but then it leads to we're waiting because of the Browns DNA. As a as a Red Sox fan pre-2004, you're always going to assume the worst. And the more points they score, we're like, all right, the Steelers are definitely going to have a run. They're definitely going to come back. It finally happens. It's 35-23. The Browns defense has been on the field for an hour. It's fourth and one. There's a stoppage because it's the end of the quarter.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, it'd be really interesting to see what their fourth and one play is going to be. Obviously, they're going to go for it, even though they're on their own 45. Even if they don't get it, you know, the Browns will have a short field and you'll get the ball back faster anyway. No, they punt. And to make it worse, they take a delay of game. And then the guy punts it into the end zone.
Of course, punts it into the end zone. Of course, he punts it into the end zone. You have to go for it there. You have so much momentum. Whether you believe in momentum or not, you have it.
I do.
And like you said, you look across the line of scrimmage, and there's just like cold smoke blowing out of these guys' mouths. They're dead. They're on the heels. Probably the right move would have been to call timeout right before the quarter so that they don't get that 4 minute break or whatever it is between quarters.
Right.
And then gouge them. And then I don't know. They couldn't stop them. And they didn't stop them on the next game, but it didn't matter.
Had been on the field for an hour.
So stupid.
And they had every play, somebody was wide open. And so anyway, Tomlin, they're down 19. He goes for two. I have no idea why. To cut it to 17. Great. You still need three scores.
Right.
Then they go down 13. He kicks the extra point. And Collinsworth and Michaels, who admittedly cannot figure out the math of any of this stuff, and they're like, I guess. But it was like watching somebody at a blackjack table who splits sixes against a jack one hand, then the next hand he's like, nope, stay at 12. And you're like, what? You just split the last hand. What are you doing?
Right.
And
somehow
they squander all these points, and instead of being down 10, they're down 13. And it was just... I thought the stupidest coach game of the week was going to be Seattle, but I thought Tomlin was worse. I don't know. They didn't look prepared, anything.
I guess. And what's weird about it, though, is before then, you almost couldn't blame him. I guess, yes, they didn't look prepared and all that stuff, but you couldn't blame him too much for it. You could put all the blame on Ben and whatever else. And Tomlin could have gotten away with not being like, hey, it had nothing to do with me. But Jesus Christ. I mean, I had moneyline Steelers everywhere, and it's because... Forget that Stefanski's out. Forget that the guard is out. But no, he's out. Like this should be huge. But last week they needed to win, and they beat him by 2 points against Mason Rudolph. And they didn't practice. The Steelers could have knocked them out of the playoffs last week. Like, does that change anymore? Like that, you just try your hardest every time. Knock the team out of the playoffs. The Bills did it to the Dolphins. Steelers could have knocked the Browns out, and now they're out.
They could have taken that 5 minutes and run an internet poll of all the Browns fans and asked, what do you want us to do here?
Yeah.
And the Browns fans, it would have responded 100%, please punt.
Right.
Please don't go for it here on fourth and one. Because if you get it, now you're on our side of the field and you can score. And now it's a touchdown game. And now we have no Stefanski. We have Baker, who hasn't thrown his pick yet and never did. Baker was good the whole game. Sal, I have this as the greatest 21st century Browns moment, replacing.
Oh,
what do you think?
I don't know, when they got to open the refrigerator or some shit. I don't know. What could it have been?
Costner. I want all my picks back, and I want David goddamn Putney.
All right.
Just because I feel like it. Come on, say it with me, you pancake-eating motherfucker. That was their last great moment.
That was pretty good. I don't know if that's toppable, but yeah, that was it. Shit, it's unbelievable that they're in. Now they go on to play the Chiefs. The Bills are the big loser because the Bills would have had this shitty Steelers team next week.
Oh, my God.
Now they play the Red Hot Ravens. But
the Bills had to be so mad. It reminded me in the second half of Game 7 against the Yankees in the 04 ALCS when we're up like 8-0 and we should be like, oh, we got this, but it's all that DNA is still sitting there.
Sure, yeah.
And then they scored a couple runs, and then Pedro came in, and they started chanting, who's your daddy?
Yeah,
and then your sphincter just tightens, and you're like, "Oh my God, this would be the worst loss. I'll never follow sports again." The Browns fans had to be feeling that at some point in that second half. We're like, wow, if we lose this, I'm out. I'm not following football anymore. I'm done.
I think they probably all went and took a Lamar Jackson dump at the end of the third quarter, right when the Steelers should have gone on fourth and two. And who was it? Collinsworth and Michaels. It's like, all right, there's a lot they could do now. And then the up back's moving around. You're like, they're like, oh, you see, something's going on. Like, nope, they're punting. That's it. Get rid of it. Through the end zone if you can.
The reason I brought up Tomlin, I mean, he was awful. The decisions in the second half were awful, but they looked like the team that had him practice.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, you start with a shotgun snap over the guy's head and everybody stares at it like it's a bomb, and you just go from there. And the Browns, who didn't practice at all, and they're super sharp. I didn't know Baker had that game in them, but quickly on Roethlisberger. So he starts his career 10-2 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Loses the Super Bowl to Rodgers.
Oh.
From that point on, his last 10 playoff games, starting with that one, 3-7 in the playoffs, including losses to Blake Bortles, Joe Flacco, Tim Tebow, and Baker Mayfield, finishes his career with 34 touchdowns, 28 picks.
I know you hate doing this.
In 20 games. 28 picks.
Wow. That's a lot.
And you look at their two Super Bowls that they won. One of them, he did nothing in the actual Super Bowl, and the other one, his stats weren't great either, and they basically got it by the skin of the pants.
James Harrison runs it back for a touchdown, a holding call in the Seattle game. I get it. I get it. He's making the Hall of Fame.
He's making the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And it's just a really weird career, I guess is my point.
I think
the last two-thirds of it, he's basically Matthew Stafford with a better coach and a better team, but not a lot of playoff success. And a lot of playoff losses, 7 playoff losses, probably 6 of them, they were favored.
Yep.
And in some of them favored by 5, by 7, by 9, stuff like that. And it's just tough one. They showed him on the bench at the end, just kind of sitting there during the headlights. And it was like, I was wondering, like, could this be it? Like, could he retire?
Well, I wonder if this was their worst playoff loss. I'll have to look. We didn't have much time between the final and the podcast. But they were only like a 5.5-point favorite. But it feels like the worst playoff loss they've suffered in a long time. Your Patriots beat up on them all the time, but that was a close spread, or they were supposed to, or whatever. But this is pretty bad. I mean, you could, you know, the Damashek's of the world, like, this isn't even a rivalry. The Browns can't say this is a rivalry. They never beat us.
And then it's a feud.
Laugh at Myles Garrett and everything he did. Like, oh man, now they're just as many wins now as the Steelers. So
they showed the sideline and they're like, there's the guy who's coaching the Browns offensive line tonight. He looked like he was 20. He was rocking back and forth like our friend Brad Mulcahy after 17 Diet Cokes. And it was like, he's a promoted assistant. I mean, a promoted intern, basically, who's going to be coaching the offensive line tonight. Like, how are you losing to this team? It's like the special teams coach is the head coach.
We got him. He's back from storming the Capitol. We put a Steelers cap on him. And here he is. We're in slim pickings right now.
Hey, what was this? What was the guy's name? Brown the Browns stuff. Coach?
Oh, yeah. Freifer.
Somehow I coached Pryfer, Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
So we should have known. We should have known there would be a fucked up game. It was every year. I'm sorry.
I made you think it was the Saints. I thought I'm like, I like the Bears here. And I don't know what order you want to go over these games, but
We're going to go backwards. I had the Browns at $1 million picks.
Oh, nice.
And then did the Steelers just to win the money line in a tease with the Bears that the Bears covered on the last play of the game with a Jimmy Graham one-handed touchdown.
Yeah.
Who then just ran out of the stadium, never to be seen again. And then they didn't kick the extra point and the line was 11 and the Bears lose by 12, but you looked this up. So what did you find out?
They changed it in 2018, and I had it, and now it's gone. But no, I guess what happened? Case Keenum. This happened, and Case Keenum went off the field, and came back, and then like took a knee for the 2-point conversion. Anyway, the books lost a lot of money. They're very upset that they didn't get to. But that's the rule in 2018. In fact, Romo didn't even know that they changed it, and they did. And that was it. Article 2, Section 8. If a touchdown is made on the last play of a period, the try attempt shall be made except during a sudden death period, or if a touchdown scored during down which time in the fourth quarter expires and a successful try would not affect the outcome of the game. So if it doesn't affect the outcome, they just walk off the field.
Well, that was the most exciting moment of the game. The second most exciting moment was the Bears, who did not complete did not get a first down on third down the entire game until the 2-minute mark when they were down 18.
Yeah.
Who could not move the ball at all. But they had one special trick play with Trubisky and it worked. And then the fucking guy dropped it. And I feel like if he caught that, the Saints, the whole game kind of unfolds differently. Sure. And I think the Saints would have had to sweat it out. It was weird. You knew the game was over when that happened because it's like, they're not going to get to 20 points with Trubisky. They just gave away 7. This is done.
Yeah. And so it's this guy Wims, right? And he had caught a 28-yard pass, like tiptoed at the sideline and caught it like a couple plays before. And by the way, I think the announcers, just in general, they're all like, I don't know if he got in. Yeah, I don't know if he kept his feet in. Just assume everybody got their feet in. They're great at it now. Everybody's great at it. Just you won't look bad over the course of a year. Just like, he got his feet in, and then they'll show it. So then they throw this crazy trick play. Trubisky unloads and throws the touchdown. The defender's hanging on the guy's jersey. The ref sees it, doesn't even call it because it's such an easy catch, you know? And it's like, all right, we'll just let it go. Goes right through his arms. And it's like that. It's not even just like a long pass that was dropped. It was on a trick play. That's kind of like when Danielson does the crane kick, and it doesn't work. And it's like, oh boy, what do I do now? Now, so that really did take all the wind out of their sails.
And then they were missing their rookie receiver, Mooney.
Yeah.
And then Anthony Miller gets kicked out.
Right.
Which was a bogus one. I started to feel like the fix might have been in with this game when that happened. So now they're down to one receiver. They have Trubisky, who if whatever happens in the play doesn't happen in the first 2 seconds, he's completely useless. And it was just like, all right, this sucks. Cause it felt like the Saints were kind of ready to be tested. They were not putting that game away. It was 7-3 forever. They looked like crap. And now they're playing the Bucs next week. And that's, we'll talk about that later.
They're up 10-3. They get him to jump off sides, right, on 4th-and-4. Taysom Hill's in the shotgun. They're just really trying to get you to jump off sides. There's no way. You know, that's snapping it. Then they're up
and the guy and it was Eddie Jackson, who's good.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
What
right.
are you like doing, Eddie Jackson? Players.
Then there's the other one. They had like an 8-play stand, goal line stand, and like there was too many defensive penalties. The jump pass that was the penalty, which was like, yeah, you're right. The fix did look like it was in, but I just needed them to get to 13 points so they could cover. Can you believe they didn't score 13 points? I felt like they had that in the second quarter.
So the most interesting thing about Saints Bears was the Nickelodeon broadcast.
Oh, right.
Which I watched, I don't know, 15 minutes of. It was great. I thought it was unbelievable how smart it was. If they had this in place when my son was like 6, he absolutely would have watched the entire game on that.
They did a great job. Yeah.
Yeah. It made me think like, A, we've been saying this for 15 years, like alternative broadcasts, you know, geared toward different audiences. What are they waiting for? Different announcers. What do they care? Like just the commercials. You're spreading out the audience over 5 channels. You're still getting the same audience anyway.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking, what other channels would that have worked for other than Nickelodeon? The only other one I could think of was Bravo.
What do you mean?
Like a football game on Bravo and Real Housewives, like just kind of a bitchy vibe of people just complaining about the coach's hair and all that stuff. But what other channels would it work for? I don't know.
Animal Planet. No, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what they could have done.
Comedy Central, you have Jeff Ross just roasting the game.
That I would watch.
I would watch that too.
No, it was good. Although the only thing is, I was like, I want to hear Romo. I get it. The first down marker moves and it's orange and stuff and everyone gets slimed when they score. And but there was like one touchdown in 3 quarters. But I think it was good for the explanations were good. Someone caught a ball going out of bounds and the ball went free after he rolled. And they're like, okay, here's what happens here. I was like, yeah, good luck explaining this. Nobody knows. It doesn't matter what channel you put this on. Nobody's going to be able to figure this out.
They should add the Pittsburgh game. All right. So Mike Tomlin could have gone for just 1 there, but he went for 2 because his chart's broken. Yeah. Anyway, I enjoyed the Nickelodeon broadcast. I'm all for weird shit like that.
Yeah.
We have 1,000 channels. Just try more weird shit. Ravens Titans was the early game, and that had the most cowardly punt of the day. Somehow the Mike Tomlin punt should have been the most cowardly punt of the day. The Tennessee punts with 10 minutes left on Baltimore's 40, and you, me, Hench, and House, we sent 130 texts in probably a minute. We were horrified and appalled. Couldn't figure it out. They deserved to lose the game after that. And then you, what did you find? The surrender index?
The surrender index said that this was the worst, like since 1994, there was never a worse situation to punt in the fourth quarter in a playoff game on that side of the field. Like that, it was real, it put it in the 99.94 percentile of it being the most cowardly punt. I don't know. Maybe Tomlin's is worse. I just looking at least the Ravens had a good defense. I thought the Browns were shot, but anyway, yeah, that was awful. Took them out of it. But the rate, I have to say, which units were you most impressed with, least impressed with? Most impressed with for me is the Ravens defense.
In today's game, yeah.
Least impressed with was the Bills defense. We'll get to that. But yeah, the Titans didn't really score. A.J. Brown pushed off in the end zone. They had two field goals. And otherwise, the Ravens held Derrick Henry to 40-something yards, right? What did he have? 18 for 40.
And they lucked out because Lamar got off to a terrible start.
Terrible.
He screwed up the option pitch,
mm-hmm.
blew the first drive, second drive threw a pick, and then third drive had Andrews peeling off wide open on third down, just didn't throw it, took a sack. And it just was like, oh, here we go with Lamar. Well, Lamar finished with 179 passing, mm-hmm. 16 carries for 136 yards, and two legitimate, whoa, plays, which I think he needs at least two a game for them to win. So I guess my question for you, do you believe in Lamar yet?
I think I do. If you look back at our text chain, it didn't look like we did, but I do believe in him. I don't know why it takes so long to adjust. I like teams that adjust. Coming from a Jason Garrett team, I like when they come out in the third quarter, Baltimore, they saw Tennessee was stacking the box, and they did that thing where they dump it off to the fullback, like a 300-pound fullback who goes for 9 yards. It's like, all right, I'm going to teach you. And that opened things up. I believe him. I think it's so funny. Some of these quarterbacks I don't think run enough. I think he runs too much a little bit. He gets stuck up the middle there and gets too cute. But yeah, I think they're in good shape. Get the monkey off their back. Do you?
I agreed with the announcer who pointed out how it's better when he's running north-south than going side to side.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just so, he can read so fast when he's just running downhill. And he can make one guy miss, and then all of a sudden, he's gone.
That's what happened with the 48-yarder.
Just
had to beat the safety. It was phenomenal.
I think I believe in him more than I believe in his receivers. It did not seem like they were very open.
Right.
And that Andrews, who I think, because he looks like he should be like a Kelsey-type tight end, but that mm-hmm. guy, it seems like every game, at least two balls go bouncing off his hands or he does get him. I'm not sure he's that good, is my point.
Really?
And I don't know who... I think he's fine, but I don't think he's like a, you know, I don't even think he's a level below Gronk and Kelsey. I think he's like three levels below. I don't really know who they're, you know, and maybe we'll find out next week. 3rd and 10. We
Dez
need
Bryant,
this first
baby.
Down.
Say it. Yeah. Just say it. It's Dez. It's fine.
That's the thing. I don't think they have it. So that would be my big fear for next round. But
the Titans play good defense for having like the worst defense in the league secondary. They really kind of stepped up. They had only like 14 sacks all year. They were in his grill a lot, and it took a while to adjust. You're not going to see the 20-yard crossing pass from Lamar against the Titans, and that's what was frustrating, right, to us and everyone else who bet him.
Well, the thing that I didn't understand is they're praising Lamar down the stretch, and they ended up with 20 points against the Titans, who were the 29th defense in the league. So it's like, should we be that excited about this? Like this defense was hot garbage. Watson put up 75 points in two games against them,
crazy.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
To me, the Ravens are a wait and see, but that the thing I was more surprised by is that Tennessee's offense couldn't move the ball.
Yeah.
Henry was 18 for 40. The Tannehill pick that ended the game, even though that wasn't totally on him, but I didn't think he was going to come through down 7. Did you?
No. And it looked bleak, right? Because A.J. Brown scores that touchdown off Humphrey. And they're like, this is going to be a matchup. This is going to be a problem. The Ravens are going to need to figure this out. Like, all right, well, that's there for them the whole game. And it really wasn't. He wasn't hitting his tight ends and at all like he does. That play action wasn't working. And that was rough. What did Tannehill end up? 18 for 26? He didn't have like 1 left. No, that's not right. Oh, one touchdown, one. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Not that great. Good.
All right. Taking a break. Come back talking about Saturday's games.
Jeder meckert über den ÖPNV. Aber was steckt wirklich dahinter?
Mit dem Podcast Ticket to Anywhere blickst du hinter die Kulissen des Nahverkehrs. Schauspieler Maximilian Mundt reist zu seiner Oma, trifft spannende Menschen wie Malte Zierden oder Linda Zervakis und erklärt alles zu Bus und Bahn und wie sie besser werden können. Erlebe ein außergewöhnliches Audioerlebnis rund um unsere alltägliche Mobilität. Jetzt reinhören auf Spotify oder unter zukunftnahverkehr.de/podcast.
Okay, going backwards, Bucks Washington. This was the weirdest game of the day because it was clear that Tampa was not going to cover 8.5 or it probably got to 9.5 by game time. That they just weren't going to cover, even though they were three times better than Washington. Right. And it was like, oh, there's another Chris Godwin drop. Oh, right. There's another 3rd-and-1 that the false start. Oh, there's another steeple. Oh, here's Washington on the other side, 3rd-and-13. Oh, Heineke's going to convert that. Of course he is. Oh, here's a guy in the end zone. Heineke's going to loft a perfect pass right into the corner of the end zone over the defensive back's outstretch, and the guy's going to catch it and get both feet in. This is a terrible Washington team. They end up covering. They get the extra point miss from Suckup. Mm-hmm. But in general, like, I don't know what to make of that Bucks game. Like,
You loved it. You loved the Heine. You like give him a Patriots jersey, right? You and House were fighting over him.
Well, like, we could get to that in a second. Coming out of it, like I feel worse about the Bucks, not better. I don't know how you feel.
Well, I mean, the Bucks could have treated Washington like the Steelers treated Cleveland, right? Like it was a game they were supposed to win. They were supposed to roll over, and they didn't. But they did keep it within 8. But Brady had like 200 yards passing in the first half. You can't blame the offense. He spread it out over 6 receivers, I think. 6 pass catchers for them. And I think I wouldn't worry about their offense. I thought Heineke would be, you know, I thought, first of all, when we thought Alex Smith was playing, and I'm like, they got some bad MFers on this defense. You think Dominican Sue is going to take it easy on Alex Smith? Like, and then when I heard he wasn't playing, I was like, okay, good. He's out of there. Tampa Bay is supposed to win anyway. But I didn't think it was too much of a letdown. I felt like takeout just enough to win kind of thing.
Well, this game was 21-16.
Yeah.
And it did seem like, oh, shit, this would be one of the great upsets. But I never totally talked myself into it. Heineke, who we called Heineken last week or 2 weeks ago, I think he's graduated Heineken because he was really good.
And keep his real name, yeah.
You and I watch football every week.
Mm-hmm.
He is better than average. That was my takeaway. I was like, this guy's a better than average quarterback. Like, he's at least as good as Case Keenum was that year when Case Keenum brought Minnesota to the precipice.
Same kind of build, same kind of thing with him, right? A shorter quarterback. Yeah.
I think took a big hit, kept playing. He probably had like a separated shoulder or something. But
well, look, I don't know what's going through this young man's mind, but I hope he intends on playing football next year. I really do.
I'll take him on the Pats right now. I really would. If you told me Heineke's your starter next year, I'm like, great. Really? As long as it's not Cam Newton.
They're not going to give him Matt Flynn money in the offseason, though. No, I don't think. I think those days are over for those kind of contracts for a guy who does great in one game.
Yeah, it would be like a 1 year, $5 million, something like that. I don't know. Yeah. I'm a believer. I thought the whole team believed in him, too. I thought that was the most interesting dynamic.
That was fun.
They were really into it.
It's good.
Brady, I thought, threw a nice ball.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he looked good. I thought he was in command. He didn't have. I was waiting for the terrible Brady end zone pick in the second half. Never happened.
No.
Though every time I watch them, it seems like he's not on the same page with his receivers. Like
Brady?
It almost seems like he's at this advanced level of football intelligence from all the years he's played and just assumes the other human beings on the field are going to do these certain things based on these things that happen. And he's constantly expecting too much from whoever it is. He's always like looking in disbelief, like, don't you realize they drop back into man? You're supposed to come back in. Like, it just seems like it's kind of how my wife treats me and my kids.
Yeah. I feel
the
same way.
You realize the sink, like you didn't put the dish in the sink. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. You didn't send me an email through your head. I can't tell what you're thinking. Right. It's that kind of thing. But yeah.
But I think they're explosive. They make big plays, but I'll be interested to see what happens when they have to, if the Saints really show up next week, if they have to actually put together long drives, make plays, not have cross-ups, things like that. But for the most part, I think the biggest winner of that game was Washington. Just, it starts out, they have to get rid of their name. They have the most disliked owner in the league.
Right.
They have Haskins, who's clearly a bust. They don't want to admit it for another 4 months.
Don't get me started with that young man. But go ahead. Yeah.
Right. And then by the end of it, it's like, all right, cool. Well, Chase Young, who they made captain, it's like three games left. Like mm-hmm. that guy's clearly a Bruce Smith crossed with Cortez Kennedy crossed with Warren Sapp type guy. And maybe they found a QB and I don't know.
You and I spoke, you were on your way to watching the games, right? This was Saturday morning and you were like, the only way Washington wins is Brady gets sacked three times, throws it a pick. He just didn't throw the pick. He got sacked three times. He was pressured a couple of times. Didn't throw the pick. So that was that's why they advanced.
It's a good point. They were a terrible Brady pick away from actually maybe stealing that game, but it never happened. Rams-Seahawks was the weirdest game. Ugh. Of the 2 days, which is saying something because Cleveland-Pittsburgh was pretty weird. You have Wolford come in to start, and it becomes pretty clear that they had run the whole week practice with him, which had been the whisper. Mm-hmm. But then Aikman really tells us what's going on in the first quarter when they're doing the we talked to Sean McVay thing, and he's like, you know, I think they lost some faith in Jared Goff. Like, he just didn't play well down the stretch, and I think they really... You know, he's saying it hypothetically, but you know, it's like they spent 45 minutes with Sean McVay.
Yep.
I think they think Wolford really gives them some energy and they can do more things in the offense. It's like, oh, wow, Sean McVay's out on Jared Goff. Like,
right.
And then Wolford gets hurt. And all of a sudden there's Jared Goff with a broken thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And they're up three. And it's like, this game's over. There's no way he's going to fuck this game up. And he didn't.
I had the Rams and the Rams were up seven. And then Donald went out. And up to then, and it was Russ's best play of the game, he rolled over as he was getting tackled after he got through. He rolled a weird way onto Donald's ribs or something. I'm like, that's your best play. Good job, Russ, getting him out of the game. And then Goff was throwing with like four fingers. And I'm like, oh, Seattle's going to win this game. And they never did it. They never did. Like, even...
Well, you knew the pick six is when you knew, like, oh, wow.
Williams,
they're going to steal this now. They're up 10, and now they could just do play action. And
they got to the fourth quarter. He ended up throwing a touchdown, I think, Goff at the end. But you couldn't ask for more if you're Sean McVay. You're in the fourth quarter, and Goff can just hand off the whole quarter if he wants.
I think they would have won with Wolford by the same score, a little more handily. But it was a rough Pete Carroll day.
It really was. Both
Seattle Twitter was not happy with Pete Carroll.
Well, first of all, why aren't they carrying three quarterbacks before we get off Sean McVay?
Oh, the Rams?
That's the most asinine thing in the world. You got a guy, your backup shouldn't even be playing. He's missing a finger. I mean, you can't really throw with a busted thumb. Honestly, it's hard.
Well, how about when they did the 4th-and-1 QB sneak with him? And the Seahawks are like trying to, you know, punch the ball out. And they're punching him. And I'm like, wow. You're actually trying to get Jared Goff hurt for next week, so you don't have to start him.
So put Bortles, activate Bortles. Like, you really need a sixth defensive back is a better roster save than the third quarterback in that state.
I don't know. You and I both bet the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had the Rams money line in a parlay with the Bills and the Bucks. So I really actually needed them to win,
right.
And I found myself saying the words, oh my God, Wolford's down. Get up, Wolford.
I literally
didn't know who he was 2 weeks ago. I'm like, oh no. Then they show it's like, oh, maybe he'll come back. You know, they're just trying to avoid concussion protocol.
We were so excited. We were overly excited about football Saturday. And then we'll get to this game next. But I'm like, oh man, we just saw Rivers, who couldn't reach the end zone from midfield on a Hail Mary. Now we're going to see freaking Wolford or Goff, and then we're going to see Heinicke, who we were not impressed with, you know, going into yesterday. I'm like, maybe there are too many playoff games. I don't know. But they were all like fascinating in their own way.
Yeah, it turned out there were enough playoff games. unfortunately for the Seahawks fans,
Mr. Unlimited,
I could really describe Seattle's game plan for you. One of the worst challenges of the season by Carroll. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, somebody might have to take the red bean back
from
him.
What was that? When he thought Goff was over the line or something?
He was behind the line by a yard and a half.
Three hops, yeah.
I don't know what they did with Russ. Warren Sharp was big on that they were much more aggressive passing the first like six games and then went back to the traditional run pass thing that gets them in trouble. But Russ like just looked like he lost his mojo. And then worst of all, they got beaten by Jared Goff with a broken thumb.
Right. Yeah.
Like that's horrendous.
Just terrible. Have a lead. Why are you screwing around with this team? Like Russ, I think, had 1 yard passing late in the first quarter. Like, what am I even watching here?
Goff finishes 9-for-19 for 155. That game not going over. Going over by 7.5 points. The over was 42.5.
Yeah.
It ends up ending at 50. And it was like 3-0. And one of the quarterbacks had a broken thumb. And it just seemed like there's just no way in hell this game would go over. It's actually literally impossible. And then they get a pick six on a wide receiver screen. And it's like, oh, of course it's going to go over.
I can't figure out the numbers. That has 50 points. The Ravens Titans has 33 points, right? 2013. The Browns almost have 50, or they have 50. But I don't even know what it ended up.
Yeah, Seattle and Pittsburgh just did not look like the same team the last 2 months of the year. And we knew it. And in the Rams case, you could make a case. The Rams defense, who knows if Aaron Donald's 100% healthy, but when he's in there, the Rams defense is better than anything anyone else in the NFC is better at, right?
For sure.
Would you say there's a higher skill from another NFC team than the Rams D?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so because I don't know what's going on that other corner spot. Why is Tyler Lockett never getting open, right? Like, I get it. All right. If Metcalf is bounced by Jalen Ramsey, that's fine. Ramsey gives up 20 yards a game or something crazy. Great. Aaron Donald, we know, should be defensive player of the year. By the way, I think pressures should be a bigger stat than sacks right now. Sacks, yeah. I get most of the good guys have a lot of sacks, but you can get lucky rolling into a sack. Pressures, and Aaron Donald kills everybody in pressures every year. But, I mean, we'll talk about next week's game. But, yeah, Seattle's defense, LA's defense is phenomenal.
Well, how about really good. Maybe there should be a stat for the offensive line completely changing what they normally do and doing like that with Myles Garrett today in that Steelers game where they're just double teaming him, even though they've stacked the other side of the line with three guys.
And right.
And the Steelers are like, cool, we're still going to double team Myles Garrett. You can have those three guys over there.
Yeah.
If we found out Wilson was playing with a torn labrum.
Oh.
Or like a strained Achilles or some sort of injury that they didn't disclose or he needed surgery on Wednesday for something. Would you be shocked?
Well, I would be surprised because I think it's much simpler than that. Check the date of when you interviewed him. I think he went to shit right after that.
BS podcast curse.
Yeah, just check the numbers. I think it was right after that it went south.
You know, it literally was right after that.
It's that crush. You crushed the stats.
I'm sorry, Russell Wilson. Last one was the game of the day. Bills Colts.
Yeah.
Actually, let's take a break and we'll talk about this. All right, Bills Colts. This is the last one, and this is one we got to spend some time on. I'll start here. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much worse do you feel about the Bills after that game?
Well, their defense specifically, I feel like Mahomes would put up 600 yards against that defense right now. I don't know. The Mahomes we know,
right?
I don't know
what happened to the defense. Did you see the stat where the Colts, every drive ended in Bills territory?
Yeah.
Even though every time they started in their own territory, it was like it just seemed like they were dominating. We were texting about it, and then you found this stat from Mike Wells about how the Colts were the first team to lose in playoff history with 450-plus total yards. And zero turnovers.
11-0
previously. 11-0 hitting those benchmarks. Yeah. Elias, because we were texting like, "Wow, Rivers is going to go for 300 yards, no picks. Never had the terrible Phil Rivers pass. They ran the ball. They had 27 first downs, and they're going to fucking lose."
Mo Alley Cox, gentleman Jack Doyle, hitting all these receivers, like all these crazy. Like who else was Burton? Everybody was open for the sideline pass. They dominated the first quarter of the Colts, and then they just got stuffed at the goal line. Like that was the big thing, right? So they go third and goal at the one. I think give it up the middle to Taylor twice, but no, they do some kind of like pitch option play.
Yeah,
that fails, and then they go for it from like the five. They screw up there. And then the Bills come down. That Gabriel Davis makes like two tippy-toe catches. and they score there, and it's like 14-10 Bills. Like they should be down at least 7 points.
Wait,
right
don't
now.
Don't gloss over. Did the I go 96, too fast? The 96 yard drive was incredible.
Right.
I mean, by Josh, yeah. That was like, I think the best moment of his career so far.
Yeah.
Look, I can only judge it by how I felt in the moment. I thought they should have kicked a field goal. Just like, why not? You've dominated this half. Go up 13-7. Try to get a stop. And this is great. Normally, I would say go for it. Fourth and four makes me, if it was fourth and one, fourth and two, it's one. Four yards is tough. That's not easy.
That's what I mean. You have to throw it. A Taylor right up the middle twice, maybe. But yeah, you're losing yards on third down. That's weird.
The only thing I could think of was they're thinking, we kicked the field goal, but now we're kicking off to them. They have like a minute 50 left and they're just going to get the field goal back and it's 13-10 instead of 10-7. But if we get a touchdown here, it's 17-7 going into the half.
Sure. Yeah, that helps.
So,
I mean,
I get it. I just wouldn't have done it, but it made more sense to me than Tomlin fucking punting.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. If they could see what was going to happen later in the weekend, they would have been like, all right, we're fine here. But yeah, Darius Leonard was killing Josh Allen. Like he was like spying them. They weren't getting anything going. So maybe that's kind of why they went for it. Like what? So what? We'll give it to him at the four. But
well, and then yeah, Rake had a
10,
bad.
They're down four. Yeah.
Rake had a tough game because the Colts, they blow 2 second half timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we know those are come back to haunt them. Of course they do. They gave away 6 points, and then they got a huge break in the last 4 minutes, and then on top of it, and they still don't win.
Poor Rodrigo misses the field goal. And
yeah,
the
Rodrigo
missed
the field goal. Yeah. They ran 76 plays, 27 first downs, no turnovers, no sacks allowed. I thought it was the best Colts game I've seen them play. And, you know, and on the other end, the Bills are up 14 in the fourth. I didn't bet on it, but I picked the Bills $1 million picks, six plus minus 6.5, trying to go 13-0, realizing I'm not going to.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're 14, I'm like, this is great. Rivers is going to throw me the pick. It's rad.
Yeah, never happened.
They came right down and scored in like 2 minutes. And it was like, what the fuck? I don't know. The Colts were good.
So if you think about it, like Rivers doesn't throw a pick, right? Rivers didn't throw one, right? He had 2 touchdowns on him. Rivers didn't throw a pick. Baker didn't throw a pick.
And Ben threw 17 picks.
Ben threw 17. And Goff didn't throw a pick. And there was another one we were waiting for.
How did Goff not throw a pick?
I know. Well, he only threw 19 times. But yeah, that should have been, one of those should have gone through. And Brady didn't throw one, which we expected one against that defense. So yeah, these teams stepped up. And most of them are moving on now.
Not you know Andy. Who Allen reminded me of in that game?
Who?
And it's funny because on one of the channels this week, they were showing one of those old Broncos-Browns games.
Yeah.
And the young Elway, who didn't run that much, but when he ran, it was like this weird, it wasn't a Steve Young scrambling. It was more like I'm going to run around. I'm actually going to dish out a hit.
Yeah, here's
like
the ball.
Old school.
Take me. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
Here's a boom. Like just, good, I get to put a lick on someone. But
yeah.
Elway was never like a huge scrambler, but as somebody whose team had to play him a few times, like, every time he scrambled, it was like one of the 5 biggest plays of the game.
Yeah.
And the way Allen was kind of controlling some of the stuff he did on those rollouts, because I thought the Colts played really well. And Allen had 5 or 6 of those Elway plays where it's just like 3rd and 9. He's rolling to his right. He's running out of room on the sidelines. It looks like he's throwing the ball out of bounds. No, actually, he's just winging it 20 yards to some guy who just got open a second ago.
He did some Mahomes-esque things yesterday, for sure. Yeah.
It was like it's weird because I don't feel like he's similar to Mahomes, even though they do a lot of the same things. He reminds me more like that Elway type just because he's so physical.
Right.
And there was a couple times when guys got good licks on him, he's just like laughing, running back to the huddle. But I thought he was awesome in that game. I really think if he wasn't awesome in that game, I think they would have lost. Because their defense played, like he had to be perfect in that game or, you know, close to perfect or they lose. If he'd had one really shitty play, they lose.
26 for 35, 324, 2 touchdowns and 54 rushing. That is going to be very hard to beat.
And some big, big momentum rushes like up the middle when the Colts. That was a nice win for them. That was a good tester.
That was my favorite. Now, I think we said it. I'm like, Bills. Bucks, let's just do that. We'll have money at the end of Saturday. And we did, but we never know how to hold on to that money. That's the problem.
Well, I didn't know I'd get one-handed Jared Goff. We need him to keep going.
Yeah, right.
We need him to last in the playoffs, just to last.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Sal, before we get to Guess the Lines, we have the odds for NFC title, AFC title. Don't look at them. Are you all looking?
Right. No. Good. I'm not looking.
What do you think the Packers are?
Packers to win
the NFC.
Next two games.
Packers, NFC title champ Packers.
Minus 120.
Plus 140.
They
this
are?
Would be a great game show. Yeah, plus 140. What are the Saints?
Saints are going to be plus 230.
2-1.
All right.
The Bucks?
Bucks will be like almost 4-1. 350?
Yeah, plus 370.
Mm-hmm.
The listeners are like, wow, Sal's really good at this.
Yeah, right.
The Rams.
Well, so the Rams are going to be 260 and then another two.
This is like a beautiful mind right now.
Almost.
You're like Will Hunting.
Almost 7-1? 650? 7-1?
Yeah, plus 750.
Okay.
And then the AFC.
So easy Chiefs. For Chiefs. What an easy thing they have now. All right, they'll be minus. They're minus 170.
So I was surprised by this. Minus 125.
Really?
Yeah, because people are afraid of the Bills. What do you think the Bills are?
The Bills are plus 175?
No,
plus 280. Oh, all right. So now I'm losing it. Okay.
And then the Ravens 4-1, Browns 12-1.
Okay. Yeah.
So if we're looking for value, it would be easy to say Bills plus 280, but I would just rather bet the Bills straight up next two games than bet the plus 280.
What's the Super Bowl for the Bills? Because they were plus 750 going into this week.
Are so Bills Super Bowl is 6-1.
Really?
Chiefs are 2-1. Packers 4-1. Saints 6-1. Ravens 8-1. Bucks 8-1.
Mm-hmm.
Rams 18-1. Browns 25-1. That's a weird cluster of teams. I don't even think Vegas knows who the favorite is.
No, I don't think they know either.
That's funny. You could talk me into any of those six teams. If we had 5 minutes per team, you could sway me on all six.
I know we're going to watch the Chiefs beat the Browns like 45-6, and then we'll change our minds. But could you see the winner of the Bills-Ravens winning the Super Bowl? Like, why don't we bet both those teams?
I don't trust the Ravens.
No?
20 points against Tennessee, I think, is a red flag.
You're betting their defense is what you're betting. I mean, remember, Calais Campbell wasn't in that game the first time against Tennessee. Like, these guys played well today.
So if you go through fatal flaw, each team, Chiefs 2-1. I'm not sure they can run the ball to protect the lead.
Right.
I think they're vulnerable the whole game. I'm not sure they can stop the run either. Packers 4-1. I don't trust them for some reason. I can't put my finger on it. It's such like terrible football analysis, but there's something untrustworthy about them. I feel like we've been here before with this specific type of Packers team, and they just seem super beatable to me.
Yeah, you can. When it's a weird thing to say, but when you can run on them, you could really run on them. It hasn't really happened the last couple of weeks, and we've seen them get killed by Tampa a couple months ago. But right now, they're locked in. Right now, they're the most trustworthy team, I think.
Well, but you think of like we learned today. What was home field advantage today? Like 2-4 this weekend?
Yeah, not good.
So the Lambeau removing that factor, and that was a big factor in the Seattle thing. Mm-hmm. We said this last week. I don't think there's any chance Wolford or Goff goes in there in a loud stadium and beats the Seahawks. I don't care how bad they're playing.
You know what's weird about it, though? All those teams, Seattle, New Orleans, all those teams we like at home, Green Bay, they were all 7-1 at home. But maybe it was this week that it turned. Like, didn't really matter for Seattle. Or it mattered that Seattle didn't have fans.
I don't know if it helped or hurt Pittsburgh this week because
I don't know what
the crowd was in shock, but there was no crowd. But right. If they had fallen behind 14-0,
right.
The vibe in the crowd would have been so horrified. It actually might have, I don't even know if they could have come back to make it 35-23.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Packers, you think like Rodgers, Aaron Jones, Devontae, like three awesome skill guys, right? They're home. They have the best player in the conference. we should be like, oh yeah, the Packers are going to win, and I can't go there. I feel like the right team can just move the ball up and down the field on them for
maybe,
four quarters.
Maybe defensively. But right now, who's most locked into their offense? Wouldn't you say it was Rodgers and Allen? Yeah. Rodgers and Allen? Yeah, okay.
Saints plus 550. I was not impressed today.
I don't like it. Just don't like them. I don't know. There's so much. Breeze has so many guys saving his ass right now. And Michael Thomas being back helps, but how many times do you think he was going to throw a pick today? Short-arming it into the turf.
How slow is that ball?
Right.
It's in the air for 2 seconds every time. It's always directly right in the guy in the right spot, but it's just like... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I forget where I heard in one of the shows, one of the insiders was like, you know, it seems like Breeze is going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And become a broadcaster. And what I'm hearing is Sean Payton really has been impressed with Jameis Winston. And he thinks he could run the team next year. I was like, Jameis, I still believe. I'm one of the only ones.
That was Francesa. That was Francesa you heard on Friday. No. Taysom Hill's not going away anytime soon. He's going to be part of like six packages a half.
It's like 31. It's not like he's an up-and-comer.
They love him. They love him.
So, from a value standpoint, the Rams are 18-1. And that's the only team I could actually talk myself into as real value.
Really? You don't like the Ravens offense, but that's
I just think 8-1's not a great value. Yeah. Rams 18-1. All right. We love their defense. If Wolford is healthy next week, I liked even the brief things of where he can at least run around and do some stuff. And it's like, could they play an ugly 13-10 game in Lambeau, win that, and advance to the next game, right? Maybe. I don't know. I like the odds.
It's just weird. I guess Nick Foles won a Super Bowl, so it doesn't matter. I guess Wolford could technically go to Lambeau and win, and then beat Tampa, and then beat Mahomes, but I don't know.
Well, it's more a case of, is anybody really that good? Because you mentioned that Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That was a year when we didn't really have a great team, and weird shit happened, and the Pats end up winning in Kansas City than ever should have. And then they end up playing that was the Eagles.
Yeah.
I'm mixing up my nine Patriots Super Bowl seasons.
Oh, stop it.
Whatever the year was with Pats Rams, that one of those years was
that
super
was two
weird.
Years ago. Yeah.
It was like, how is this?
Like 7.5 or something.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. I was like, how is this the Super Bowl?
Right.
And then on the other side, Chiefs are 2-1, Bills 6-1. That's the sexy pick. Ravens 8-1, Browns 25-1. There's no way the Browns win the Super Bowl, right? Wouldn't that be the perfect way to?
It's such gravy now. They're not taking anyone by surprise. It'll be fun. One more win would be great.
Those two running backs are really good. And we owe Baker an apology. We were saying he was like poor man's Case Keenum. I loved his leadership today. I thought he made good throws.
Yeah,
they dropped one pick. Other than that, I thought.
All right, I'll apologize. As long as you apologized first, I'll apologize. Yeah. No,
I'll apologize.
It's now four big games he's had in like the last 6 weeks. It's good.
I'll apologize. He needs to apologize to us for being in six different commercials.
Yeah, right. That's how he gets us back.
Like, Deshaun Watson's got to be like, what the fuck? Like, I'm right here. I'm 10 times better than this guy.
He is. He is like, what the fuck?
He's like, JJ. Yeah, J.J. Watts getting commercials, fucking Baker Mayfield. So that story broke this weekend. There's been rumblings about that for a while. And I don't know how it works with trading those giant contracts. But if I'm Miami, I'm going all in for that dude.
So that's the team that keeps coming up, right?
You go all in. Because if you have him and you have Flores and some of the young dudes they have, and it's like, cool, you want four, you want 17, we'll give you Tua. Done. Call it in.
Two is one of the four ones you have to give up, right? Or two.
I'm doing that. Yeah. I'm doing that in 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think for the Patriots. Unfortunately, we don't have enough to give up. We'd have to just give up like our next four number ones. But
maybe Belichick gives up his Medal of Honor.
That's not that's not a real story, right?
It's real. Of course it's real.
No, but he's not going to actually go and accept it.
I think, you don't think so? Why not? What's he doing? Medal of Honor.
He better not.
Honor. The greatest cheater of all time is getting an honorary medal.
That story better not be true. All right. We're going to take a break and then we're going to do guest lines. Hey, do you know you could bet on Alabama versus Ohio State with an exclusive 25-to-1 odds boost on FanDuel Sportsbook? Yeah, you heard that right. FanDuel Sportsbook giving new users an exclusive 25-to-1 odds boost on the biggest college football game of the year. You can pick either Alabama or Ohio State to win. Then bet just $5 for a chance to win $125. Don't listen to me on college football. I barely know what's going on, but I'll tell you this. I really like Justin Fields. I think I would bet on Justin Fields for this one just because I thought he was really good. FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sports betting site for a reason. They have all kinds of player props, futures. They have same game parlays. You can place a bet faster in a game if you're excited about something, trend that you saw during the thing. Simple, intuitive app. Right now, the right thing for you to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use my promo code BS to take advantage of your exclusive 25-to-1 college football odds boost. Remember, FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code BS. You must be 21 plus, present in Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, West Virginia, Indiana, Colorado, Iowa, Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Guess the lines, round two.
Mm-hmm.
So, do I have this correct? It's Packers, Rams, Bills, Ravens on Saturday, and then Chiefs, Browns, Saints, Bucks on Sunday?
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, okay. Sunday late is the marquee matchup there.
How do we feel about that schedule? Feels like Chiefs, Browns should have been the first game.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Chiefs, Browns. I guess they didn't want to put two NFC late, but yeah, I thought that was... I don't know. Did they have enough time to pivot once they found out the Browns were in that game? That could have been Saturday early.
The best of the four games is Bills Ravens.
Mm-hmm. Great game.
Maybe they're worried one-handed Goff or Wolford with in a neck brace might be like a 30-point blowout. Right, so put one first.
That's it.
All right. Guess the lines. Packers hosting the LA Rams. By the way, what a sports year for LA. Dodgers.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Lakers. And now the Rams have the city just electric. That's not true. Anybody.
Well, we lost poor Tommy Lasorda, but
we did.
Yeah. Very sad.
I think that was a bigger story than the Rams winning a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at this from every angle. I thought they were factoring in some tease potential. I don't think the Rams defense can be discounted. And I just could not get this to 7. I'm saying Packers 6.5.
Well, you got close enough. I said 8. I thought the quarterback thing was fine. It worked out against Seattle. I didn't think it was going to work against Green Bay. I thought they have to score a lot more points to win that game. Not sure that Aaron Donald's 100%. And I think he has to. You said 6.5. It's 7. So you get that. They're selling us on Jalen Ramsey shutting down Davante Adams, right? That has to happen for this to be something of a game.
It's tough to trade. I know he had to be traded and whatever, but it's got to be tough if you're like the old team to watch this guy just completely dismantle receivers every week.
It's ridiculous.
It's like almost like a top three thing you need in the NFL. This guy just is like, who's your best receiver? All right, you're not going to catch anything today.
That's it. Nothing. Out.
So the Packers are dying to be teased in this game.
They're dying to be teased with the Chiefs. I'll help them out.
They're dying to be teased with the Chiefs, who we have coming up in a little bit, and it looks too easy. I'm just saying it now.
You don't have to wait that long, Billy. You could tease them with Alabama tomorrow, and that'll be that.
What's that line? What's the Alabama line?
It's like 8.5. So if you want to money line that, Ohio State's secondary will show up. I mean, the old secondary. They'll score a lot.
You're not afraid of Fields?
No, I don't think he's exactly right either. They've really been pushing to move this game and stuff like that. And too many weapons. And Alabama's got Waddle coming back. They're going to be better.
So you want to do Packers-Alabama tease?
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm going to.
It's almost like you like to gamble. Who scares you more in this game? Wolford with the... possible neck strain or whatever he's got going, or in the 3 MRIs he did this week, or Goff, who Sean McVay we now know was out on,
right,
and now is begrudgingly back in on, and the guy's got a broken thumb, and they're like 3 out of every 4 balls is fine coming out of his hand in Lambeau.
Goff's thumb has to get better, right? I mean, this is a guy they almost didn't put in. He probably shouldn't have been activated.
He's got pins in his thumb, though.
It can't work. It can't work. If they're down 10, if Packers run this right and they're up 10, you need Jared Goff to throw to hit Woods and Strut. No, it's not happening. Maybe a cover. I don't see a win here.
The case for the Packers, what did we say? They were 4-1 to win the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a gift from the gods that instead of playing Tampa Bay in round two, they're going against a team that's compromised the quarterback.
Right. That's true. That's
a good one.
Yeah.
Next game in Buffalo. How about that Bills Mafia? Are they something else? That's like the new announcer thing that they just have to go nuts about right. The Bills Mafia. It's like no other team has a fun fan base but the Bills.
I don't know.
The Bills.
Yeah, they're the greatest. They're so great. How come only 6,000 showed up for the game?
Yeah. Well,
where are they? They can't even fill that place?
Were the other 54,000?
We're joking, people. Yeah.
I forgot. We're not allowed to joke about anything.
We're just joking.
Yeah. Disclaimer, joke.
Buffalo, they really got the short end. As much as we had on the Steelers money line, they were furious at the outcome of this game. They could have beaten that Steelers team up. That would have been pretty easy for them. Easier than the first time, I think.
I agree. Well, so I was vacillating between Bills 3 or Bills 3.5. It looks like Zach Moss is out for this game.
Hmm.
And I thought Zach Moss was really good for them the second half of the year. It was coming on. And Singletary, I like. I don't know if him by himself, it makes me nervous. So I'm gonna say that's where the half point. I'm going to say Bills by 3.
Yeah, I wanted to steal that from you. We both got it. It's 3.
Oh, I would have said 3.5 if Moss was playing.
That's such a tough line, too.
The Ravens will be like plus 150 to win outright?
Yeah, sure. Right around there.
My advice on this one is, if you think the Ravens are going to cover that, just bet them to win. Like, it's like that Rams-Seahawks game on Saturday.
Yeah, probably.
If they're in the game, they're going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I feel like the Bills are either win by double digits or the Ravens could actually.
Yeah, that's why you're right. Like plus 9 on a teaser looks good, but don't do it. Just if you like them, take them straight up.
All right. Well, I'll enjoy both of those games.
Yeah, that's fun. Look, the Rams kind of screwed up. We wanted Tampa and we might get it the next round, but we wanted Brady against Rodgers, but that would have been a better Saturday game.
Only 2 games on Saturday.
Now, how are we going to do it?
You know, I remember on this podcast, me pushing for the 3 playoff games per day. I've been on this corner for a while. And so you're not liking it. You didn't like it. You were like, it's too much. We're going to dilute a good thing. You did this whole thing. And I was trying to convince you this would be the greatest. You're like, no. And I think deep down, you were just scared.
Need I remind you of the half dozen shitty quarterbacks we just went over in the last hour? But here's what I've come around on. So did you have it planned where only one team gets a bye? That's how you have
it? Yeah.
I'm fine with that now. That's what I was like, nah, that's too much advantage. But I'm like, why? Why should 2 teams get a bye? You're right. Oh, just because we grew up. Look at that. Yeah, one team gets a bye.
I'm fine with it. Sunday, Chiefs Browns.
Mm-hmm.
So, stared at this one for a while as well. I thought it was going to be either 8.5 or 9, and I was trying to think, would they do 9 to try to screw over the people trying to tease the Chiefs? But then I was thinking of the Browns running game and how good they look this week, and they're going to have their coach back, and they've got the nobody believes in us factor going. And the fact that the Chiefs have not looked good for the last 6 weeks and did not play last week, might be a little rusty first half, notorious slow starting team. You don't want to be the slow starter against the Browns because they can actually protect the lead. I settled on Chiefs 8.5.
Okay. I think we split this because it's 10 and I went the total opposite way. I said 11.5 and we're both off by 1.5. So we split it. I thought, no one believes in us. I thought this is the gravy bowl. Cleveland came out. They beat Pittsburgh. Not going to take anyone by surprise. Andy Reid off a bye. We're going to see all those. This counts as a bye. all those numbers. I thought it was going to be high. I went way heavy with 11.5, but it's 10.
That's a lot of points. I do not think that you're getting an extra 2.5 because of Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
They're bumping it up. They know you don't want to bet the Browns. But that line is, I don't think the Chiefs are 10 points better than the Browns.
Well, here's why. Well, I did. I mean, I said 11.5, but
but you're guessing yeah, the line. No, I'm saying, like, fundamentally, do you think the Chiefs are 10 points better than the Browns?
No, because I think the Cleveland could score. They're not like a normal 7 seed that just upset a 2, you know, or 3.
Yeah.
6-3, whatever it was. They could score. They're going to score in the 30s, 35, right in there. Yeah, you're right. The Chiefs aren't, you know, what do they beat? They barely beat the Falcons. They haven't had too many great games over the last month, but maybe they're doing it Spurs style with Duncan. Like, we know we'll get to the playoffs. We'll take care of everybody, and that'll be that.
That's a lot of points, and we know that they're going to have trouble running the ball. I don't know if Edwards-Helaire is allegedly playing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's not going to be 100%.
By then. Yeah, maybe.
I don't see it. That line seems too high. All right. Well, they're dying for you to do a 3-team tease with the Chiefs.
Well, you're going to get the – you win the week if you even tie me here.
Oh, I'm hitting this one exactly. Saints-Bucks. Right. It's in New Orleans. We've seen this game before. The Saints mm-hmm. killed them. But I think the Bucks get a lot of respect. I have Saints by 3.
All right. Well, you're wrong. It's not in New Orleans. It's in Tampa. No, you're right. It's in New Orleans. You got it, son of a bitch. I said 3.5. I thought they'd give them the hook because they crushed them so soundly.
I just clinched for the year. Time.
You did.
You get hit by a sub.
We didn't have to announce it like that. Come on.
I'm 10-7-2 for the year now.
Oh, wow. Look at him. He knows exactly what he is.
Yeah, I was getting nervous. You're catching up to me.
I think you are. You're 10-7-2.
I'll tell you this. Anytime there's a playoff game in round 2 or round 3 that is a -3, you know that's going to be a good game.
It should be, yeah.
Bills -3 Ravens, Saints -3 Bucks. It's just a good game. 3 means... we think this game's going to be nice and even and back and forth and cool.
Wasn't the Seahawks Rams 3?
What a cool game, though.
That's a fun one. I was bummed seeing the Seahawks Rams a third time. I'm excited about this one.
Yeah.
Saints Bucks, for sure. I don't think either team embarrasses themselves. I do think it comes down to the last drive kind of thing. Can we have that at least?
Well, the other weird thing about this weekend, we might have seen Rivers' last game, and he's actually pretty good for what he usually is in the playoffs, although
right.
It was like every Phil Rivers playoff game. Breeze seems like he's retiring after this year after he broke 11 ribs.
Mm-hmm.
Roethlisberger, I wouldn't be shocked if he retired, would you? If he was just like, I'm good?
No, I could see him being. I mean, if you listen to his like press conferences every single week, he was really doom and gloom. Like it was very strange. Walking totally. Around like a zombie too.
So weirdly, Brady is by far the least likely to retire of those four.
Oh yeah.
Cause I feel like he's gaining strength. He's growing more hair.
Yeah, right.
He looks like he's 35.
Mm-hmm.
All right, rank those games, favorite to least favorite. My favorite is Bills-Ravens.
Yeah, Baltimore-Buffalo is my favorite, and Tampa and New Orleans second, and then I'll go Rams-Green Bay third. What do you have third?
I'm excited for Rams-Green Bay. I actually think the Rams could win that game.
Really?
Yeah, because here's the thing. It's the playoffs, and if you can rush the passer and create havoc the way that they can create havoc and stay.
We've been talking
games.
About Cam Akers, 28-131. Like that's
really good.
That keeps it going. They'll be in decent shape.
I thought Cam Akers, Zach Moss, and Dobbins, I thought all three of those guys as the year went along were really, really, really good.
Right.
And Moss got hurt, unfortunately. Dobbins never really got going today. He had a couple runs.
Yeah, like 43 yards. But yeah.
I still feel like we'll be hearing from him. All right. Well, that was great. All right. Now it's time for Parent Corner brought to you by CarMax. We're all doing more at home these days. And thanks to our friends at CarMax, that includes car buying too. Shop over 50,000 CarMax certified vehicles at CarMax.com. Check out 360-degree views, schedule a trade-in appraisal, apply for financing, buy online or in-store with curbside pickup and home delivery in select markets. Check out all the details. Get started today at CarMax.com. There's going to be a car story in this Parent Corner. CarMax, the way it should be. All right, Sal, what do you got?
Well, I got a couple things. Well, first, my middle son, Jack, he became a Steelers fan. Did I tell you this? He's a Steelers fan because he's infatuated with Heinz ketchup, which is a weird ass thing. And then he found out that the Steelers play in Heinz Stadium. So it's all Steelers. He got like $75 an Amazon gift card. He bought a Steelers beanie. He bought a Steelers shirt. He's wearing it around the house the last 4 days. The neighbor sees him in the yard and says, "Hey, I have a terrible towel from when I visited my in-laws. Do you want it?" He's like, "Of course I do." So now he's waving this thing around. It's annoying. I'm like, can't we all just be Cowboys fans? That way we're all just miserable one day out of the year. Not one, really like 11 or 12, but the last day is all the same. Then we don't have to worry. So the Steelers get beat up. He's upset. He goes to his room. I'm like, good. Told you so. Be a Cowboys fan.
You deserve
this. Much easier. Right. But anyway, I made up for everyone in the house because I went online. I was watching some old Atari games and how so bad they were. I was watching like Pitfall. I remember like being excited about Pitfall when you jump on
I played
on
it for dozens of hours.
Oh, yeah. You jump on the alligator's head. There was like the exact spot you could jump up and he'd open his mouth and you wouldn't die. Like, and then you knew how to jump down. You knew the rope. I was like, I'm buying Atari. I went online. I found an Atari for $54. It's here. I got 10 games. I got Kaboom. I have Pitfall. I have Asteroids. I have Space Invaders and Missile Command. I'm so excited. And the kids.
Wow.
I got the kids like into it. The box is not open. I didn't have any time, of course, to set it up today. But tomorrow I'm going to set it up and report back. But I have a feeling it's going to be very disappointing for everyone except me.
This almost seems like a new digital series.
Yeah.
Where you play Atari with your horrified kids who can't believe that these are the video games we played. I got in it like maybe like 12, 13 years ago. I got an Intellivision on eBay. Not even longer great. Than that. And it was great. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was fun when video games were a little more simple.
Don't you feel as simple as Asteroids was? It was also hard to win, right? If you put it on high speed or whatever and the things are coming at you, I could play Space Invaders for a while, I think. I'm so excited to do this.
Well, our agent, who now we're only allowed to call manager, James Baby Doll Dixon.
Yes.
He sent our family a mini Miss Pac-Man machine
same
for
here.
Christmas.
So 3 years out of the last four, we've gotten the same Miss Pac-Man machine. Yeah.
It was, so we were playing it and it was great and I really enjoyed it. And that's another one of our simple game. And you start getting the levels and I don't know. It's really
remember
fun.
The books? You couldn't go online. You'd buy the books and they'd show you the patterns to win Pac-Man or to get through each screen. Now you can go online, I'm sure. And well, now they don't give a shit. But anyway, Atari.
I played them as Pac-Man. It was really fun. I got to like 75,000 because I can remember some of the patterns. Hmm. Yeah, I got to 78. And then I went in the other room. My son was playing Call of Duty and he's like, sniper. The graphics are amazing. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, screw you, Inky and Blinky. I'm going to have to rob a convenience store here.
Flashing Ghosts was the most exciting
How many boards is 78,000? That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it gets to when it gets to that.
You how get many to that completed
new act
boards?
One, you get past Act Two, and then the,
That's like four
boards,
so it's
like the
right?
second after Act Two, yeah.
Nice.
Oh. I was better than that, though, back in the day. I was an only child. What was I going to do?
I see. I'll lend you my Atari.
Well, please put some of that YouTube stuff online. I think that could be the content America wants.
All right.
So last time we did a pod, I was at a soccer tournament on Monday. My daughter lost in the semis. We're driving back from Arizona. And at like the 4 hour mark, we're past Palm Springs. And then it's that last hour and a half stretch to LA. And I'm just like, I'm so tired of being in the car. Cause it wasn't just that we drove to Arizona and back, but every game was at least 40 minutes, 60 minutes. So we're in the car all weekend. And I was like, so she's got this Instagram account for Realsies. I was like, let's do a live thing on For Realsies where you can go live. You take questions from people. So she's like, all right. So we go live. Now we're driving. I'm going like 90 miles an hour. We're doing a chat with, on the phone and answer all these questions. And somebody asked, like, why isn't your daughter ever on Parent Corner? And I was like, I'm always afraid to mess with her because, she's a teenage girl. She'll kick my ass. And she's like, no. I don't care. I'm an open book. You can do whatever you want. I'm like, really? And she's like, no, you can. I'm like, okay, really? Like, even like your relationship, she's like, you could talk about that. That's fine. I'm like, okay. I'm like, all right. So she says this on the thing. So I marked it down. So your son did the driver's permit test, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How'd he do?
I forgot to ask. No, I think, no, he didn't do it. He has it coming up. Yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't have it yet.
So my daughter, my wife decides to take her to not near where we live, but someplace 25 minutes away because she heard you can get it faster.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to study for it, right? You're studying for it, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. They leave at 8 in the morning, and it's one of those, you see, you don't have girls. There's this weird mother-daughter early morning dynamic where it really seems like they might have like a steel cage match in somebody's bedroom. Like, it's just, they're screaming, and then all of a sudden the like doors slam, and then they're gone.
Nice.
Takes her to get the driver's license test. And then 2 hours later, I'm power walking. I'm on a phone call and the horn beeps and there's a car coming. It's my wife. Cause they're near my neighborhood. I'm like, hey, how'd it go? Like, I'm excited. And I could tell my daughter's been crying for like a half hour.
Oh,
and
no.
My wife's like, don't ask. I'm like, what happened? So my daughter failed the driver's permit test. And she failed it because she didn't study for it at all, because her friends were like, you don't have to study for it. Anyone can pass it. But then it's like, what, 20 questions and you can have the three trick ones.
Tricky.
You have to get a certain score.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, she did no homework. And my wife is so mad. She's like, I don't care if she ever gets it. I'm never taking it again. You're taking it next time. And my daughter, and I'm like, what did I walk into? And then it's like, how do you not pass the driver's license test? Like, can anyone pass that?
I don't know. I think it's pretty weird. Well, first, what is the leeway? How many do you have to get right out of 20?
I don't know what the percentage is. So anyway, so now she's going to study for it and do it again. But it set us back. And now she still doesn't have a driver's license permit. But I just couldn't believe it. I feel like when we did it,
but you can go back in line and take it again, or like put on like a fake mustache and take it again. I don't know.
I feel like when we were getting licensed, it was like, do you have a face? Do you have a face and two hands, two feet? Here's your license. Like now you actually have to like really pass the test. So anyway,
I know they throw some trick ones in, like at a four-way stop sign. If one stop sign is you and the other is an ambulance, the other is a mail truck and the other is a fire truck. Who has the right of what? Like, they do shit like that. But I don't know.
Wait, listen, my daughter was recently on this podcast. For anyone who heard her, like, she's not a moron, but she. So we waited a week and I kind of filed it away. I didn't make a joke about it because, again, you don't want to fuck with 15-year-old girls. But then I finally snuck one out about how she failed it. And it was like the all time shoot the daggers. It's weird for us making fun of our kids where it's like at some point they're going to be taking care of us and deciding do they want to pay for a night nurse and all of these decisions. I never know how far to go.
I never thought of it that way. Yeah, I shouldn't be making up terrible songs about them during a pandemic. Yeah, you're right. But what is
so, she should be mad? Call you Dado Fado.
Dado Fado. I'll just take it and smile. What? So she should be mad at her friends though.
That was my takeaway.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, basically she was Pittsburgh and her friends like, no, they don't even have a head coach. You're fine.
Right.
Just show up. And then the snap's going over her head and the whole thing's falling apart. So anyway, my daughter said she's an open book. So apparently that makes her fair game for paracord.
Well,
so,
ironically, she needs to open a book and study her driver's test.
I'll report back when she finally passes.
Okay, good.
All right.
That was
Parent Corner brought to you by CarMax. Experience car shopping your way at CarMax. Oh, before we go, you're wearing a Mets hat.
Yeah. Isn't this nice?
Uncle Steve came through.
He did. I like calling him Uncle Steve, too. And then he signs Francisco Lindor and Carrasco. We didn't even have to give up McNeil. It's terrific. He's making moves. You know, it's just like guys want to come to Flushing now, right? Like good players. We didn't have that forever where a good player wants to. Like, they want to come here. And now, here, I'm in L.A., but whatever, to come to Queens and play for the Mets. And
well, can you get Springer?
Is
Springer still in play?
He's still in play, although, like Uncle Steve said, he really wants to honor the luxury tax and doesn't want to go over and everything. He doesn't
Uncle
want to
Steve,
pay the luxury tax. I know. This guy's the best, though. He really just collects memorabilia, and he's got the number one prize, right? And he's like, oh, I'm not losing with this team. Let's do it. Let's go out. And he's like, the big news is we're bringing the black jerseys back. He's so good. Every day there's something new.
He's just got to bring back 86 Mets every week in some form, right?
Yeah, like, right.
This week, Kevin Mitchell is going to be our first base coach. Like, what does base coach do? Is Kevin Mitchell still alive? He might not be alive.
I think he's still around. Yes, all he right, is. Good. Lenny Shout Dykstra, out to Kevin is, Mitchell. Lenny Dykstra is a groundskeeper one week. Yeah, I like that. I like that idea.
As you know, I only judge my baseball opinions because all I do is watch the Red Sox and no other teams. So I only judge my opinions by if I've watched somebody play the Red Sox. Lindor was always, you know, not a newsflash, but I always thought he was really good and played with like this exuberance.
Yeah, it's 27.
You're just like jealous of him on the other team. Like, oh man, that guy seems like he'd be fun to have.
Right.
The same way people felt about Mookie Betts with me. And then we traded Mookie Betts.
That was it. You got to spend money. You have to though, right? You'll get lucky if you're the Royals one year or Tampa Bay or something, but you have to spend. And by the way, just pay off Bonilla's contract so we could just not have to talk about that every
four
July
more years.
1st. Just do it. Just pay it off.
I love Springer. I think Springer, that dude, he's one of those dudes, if you're in a big series with him, you just, when he comes up, you're scared.
Yeah. Bat anywhere in the order. Terrific. Yeah. Get him.
And he's been in a lot of big games, all that stuff. Well, congrats. I'm glad I feel like there's like this kind of sneaky New York sports renaissance happening.
You think so? Oh, well,
because
the Knicks actually have
like a plan now, at least. You know, it's going to take a while, but at least they're trying to.
They try for that coach, right? Or is it like a Joe Judge thing? Like, because for 8 weeks, we're like, that Giants really try for that coach. Like, do they really try for Thibodeau? Or is that going to go away?
Thibodeau's
is that going to go away, though, in February?
I don't think so.
All right.
No, I think that's good. Yeah. New York's back. What do you have to plug other than?
Yeah, extra points.
Fox Bet Live.
I think I'm the champ. So I need a futures bet, NBA futures bet. Give me one. Who wins it?
NBA futures bet for the title?
Yeah, I can win title or the East or the West.
I mean, the futures bet should be, are they going to pause the season in the next 48 hours? Yeah,
forget
it. It's not great.
Maybe I'll go college basketball then.
It's not great. I would go, I'd probably go in the East with the futures bet because I think the East is wide open. I like the way the Celtics were playing before Tatum went down with COVID.
Bucks 210. Nets 240, Celtics 7-1. I feel like the Celtics are always like 6-1, 7-1 to win the East. Yeah.
Here's the thing with the Celts. You know, I'm always call it like it is with the Celts.
Oh, yeah.
Their two guys are really good. They have Tatum and Brown. That's like one of the best pairs in the league. Those guys are both all-stars, top 20, top 22 guys, and they still have a trade to make, and they have a good coach. So.
All right.
I don't know.
Do they not get embarrassed by Durant if they match up? This is so early to talk about this. But
the Nets are 5-6.
Yeah.
We did we did the over-under spot, and I think I was probably wrong on 80%.
Really? Yeah. Well, the Nets whiffed. Speaking of extra points tomorrow.
Joker for MVP, if you can do that one.
Joker for MVP. Wait, I have that, don't I? Didn't you?
I'm saying Fox Bet Live.
Oh, no, I had Luka. Oh, Joker for MVP. Oh.
Yeah. What are the odds of that?
13-1.
Yeah, he's like averaging a 27-11-12 right now.
Really?
And that team's really good.
All right, I'm writing that down. Yeah, so Fox Bet Live, extra points tomorrow. Damashek, we get to hear him cry about the Steelers. And on Against All Odds Tuesday, I'm interviewing Kendrick Perkins, one of your favorites. Big gambler too, Kendrick Perkins.
Perkins, he does Celtics halftime. He does a really good job.
Yeah, he's fun.
Yeah, they bring him in. All right, cool. I hope Damashek, I hope his tears burn his cheeks. I really do.
I'll pass along the message.
I hope they leave welts in both cheeks.
Okay, I'll tell him that.
Yeah, tell him that. Tell him that for me. Cuz, good job by you.
Good job by you, buddy.